Hey, welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. Today's guest is Brett McMurphy of ESPN. Brett does a great job covering college football for ESPN and did a great job today with the Oklahoma State Sports Illustrated story. Kind of broke that down, poked some holes in what Sports Illustrated originally reported, and just did a really good job with that. You can follow him on Twitter at McMurphyESPN. I do want to apologize. The very end of the podcast got cut off. Brett's last answer to my question got cut off a little bit. So I apologize for that. I take full blame, full responsibility. I want to blame Thayer Evans, but I can't because it's my fault. So I hope you guys enjoy the podcast anyway. And thanks again to Brett for coming on. Okay. Brett McMurphy of ESPN. Welcome to the Pistols Firing Podcast. I appreciate you coming on.
Sure, man. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Okay. So you obviously wrote a piece on ESPN today that kind of poked some holes in the series that Sports Illustrated has been doing. I kind of wanted to go back to last week, at the end of last week, when you first started hearing just about everything that SI was doing with Oklahoma State. I know that you have sources at OSU. You've been around the program just from covering college football. What was your first thought when you heard Sports Illustrated was doing this series?
Well, I was interested to see exactly what they would report. Unfortunately, I guess I wasn't surprised that somebody was reporting that this kind of stuff was going on at a school. It seems to be commonplace now. Obviously it's, my alma mater. So I was interested to see exactly what had been going on. It's been about 300 years since I was in school there, so obviously a lot of things have changed. But I cover college football, and I was interested to see what the report would show. And coming off the heels of Miami, Oregon, Johnny Manziel with the signing the autographs and stuff. It's just another instance of college football challenges or problems, if you will. And I was curious to see how it would unfold and what exactly they had.
Before we get into your piece, just generally about college football, do you think, you mentioned the Johnny Manziel thing and all that. Dennis Dodd of CBS wrote a piece today just talking about how people are tired of this stuff, and it just takes, you don't want to read about any more of it. Do you think people get tired of reading about this stuff that we call scandalous?
I really think they do, unless it's your rival who's getting alleged violations or getting NCAA probation, maybe that same fan base doesn't care. But I think people really are getting tired of it, and I think it's a weird time, a unique time in college athletics right now, because I think so many people feel that college athletes, specifically football players, should be compensated some way. So then when they're then alleged to have made violations for doing things to make money or whatever, I think people kind of mixed emotions, like, well, these guys should probably get money anyway. But bottom line is, these are still NCAA rules, and until the NCAA changes the rule book and says you can do some of these things, then if they do break these rules, it's a violation and it's a news story. But no, I agree with Dennis. It's people are getting tired of this, especially this series on Oklahoma State. I'm sure people outside of the state of Oklahoma and probably inside at this point are tired of hearing about, all these different stories, and it's just fatigue of NCAA violations. But it's, I think, especially in the off season, it was really, it seemed like something was popping up every other week, some kind of crisis or big NCAA story. I just couldn't wait for the season to get here. And now the season gets here, and we've got the Oklahoma State report. We've got, Yahoo Sports did an incredible job with the five SEC players that allegedly received improper or impermissible benefits. I was hoping these stories would go away and we could just concentrate on the games, but unfortunately that's not happening right now.
Yeah, it almost feels like people, the general public, the college football consumer, kind of sets his or her own standards and judges teams or players by those standards, and they don't really care what the NCAA says. So it's, I don't know. I agree with you. It's kind of a weird kind of purgatorial state that we're in right now. In terms of the piece, so you look at the first two or three, three have come out right now from Sports Illustrated, three articles, and there's so much information and there's so many people named and there's so much data and conversations and all this stuff. When you're trying to look at it and say, you know, what's truth and what's not, where do you even begin to look?
One of the first things that jumped out at me when I first saw the first two reports, I haven't read the third one yet. I haven't got around to it, but I will read it. Was how many people that they had talked to was the first thing that, you know, I was impressed with. But then as soon as I realized how many people they talked to, the thing that jumped out at me is that there was no actual documentation of any of the accusations. If there were, I don't remember what they were. And so basically it was a group of individuals over several years saying A, B, and C happened. And then it was other people over a large number of years saying that A, B, and C did not happen. And so basically it's just people saying this happened and other people saying that didn't happen. And it was like there was no evidence that any of this happened or that any of this didn't happen. You know, it's just basically if whatever viewpoint you had in this, whichever dog you had in the fight, if you will, that's who you believed. And I just thought that was kind of weird. It was, you know, different from the Yahoo Sports report with the SEC players. You know, I know it's an apples and oranges comparison, but Yahoo Sports, I mean, they've got Western Union wire transfer copies. They've got cell phone bills. They've got text messages. They've got emails. They've got credit card receipts. They got bank wire. I mean, they've got documentation. I mean, they've got it nailed shut. You know, there's no doubt that what they reported is 100% accurate. The Sports Illustrated report, it could be 100% accurate. Well, not all of it since what I reported, but it could be, you know, 99% accurate, or it could be, you know, 100% false. You don't know because there's no evidence that shows either side is accurate. And that's why when I, you know, saw the stories and I was looking at it and trying to say, okay, how can I confirm that this stuff happened, or how can I show that it didn't happen? And there are very few bits of information in there that you could actually, you know, document through records or, through university records, transcripts or whatever, and say, yes, this did happen, or yes, that it didn't happen. And I guess that's what kind of got me, you know, looking into this. I didn't know what I was going to find. And I found out, you know, one of the lead sources who's made a ton of allegations lied about at least two things, you know, that we can document. We know 100% factually that it wasn't true. You know, how much of what else he's saying is inaccurate or is accurate, no one knows. And you can't prove it either way. I think that's probably the most frustrating thing for Oklahoma State fans is there's no way to prove it's not true. So that's probably a long-winded answer, and I don't know if I answered your question, but it's, you know, can't wait to see the next two parts.
Yeah, no, I you definitely did answer the question. So how many different things did you look into or ask around about before you came upon this part that you saw was obviously false?
Well, I, you know, the thing was, you know, Fatah Carter was one of the main people that had been quoted the most in the various articles and made the most allegations, you know, and, you know, there's about 2,000 words per story. So I don't remember the entire series, but I remember seeing that, you know, he said he graduated. I remember hearing, one of the reporters on the Doug Gottlieb show talk about him and about how, you know, he wouldn't lie. He's got 2 degrees. And so I just found that interesting that he, in the story, it said he had 1 degree, and then the SI reporter said he had 2 degrees. And so I thought, well, that's, you know, I don't know, it just kind of seemed weird to me that, you know, and then the SI reporter mentioned that, you know, he doesn't have any reason to hold any grudges, I'm paraphrasing here, but that basically he wouldn't lie. And when he said that, I was like, he wouldn't lie. So that, just being, you know, just my background as a reporter, I thought, they didn't check to see if he graduated. Because they would have said, you know, if you asked me, hey, you did a story on, you know, person X, and, you know, what do you think about him? And I said, oh, he graduated in 2004 with a degree in education, and we confirmed it with the university, or da-da-da-da, and move on. I wouldn't say he wouldn't lie. So that kind of sent up a red flag. So I started going through and looking at everything Carter had said in the 2 stories. I found that instance, and then I found that he claimed he had some classes with Tatum Bell, and that Tatum Bell's and him got an F because their eligibilities had expired. And so I tracked down Tatum Bell and called him and asked him about it, and he said, you know, no, that's not true. I wasn't enrolled at the school. You know, I wasn't even at school then. And I'm like, okay, fine, I believe you, but prove it to me. Give me some evidence. I mean, you can say you were out of school. I believe you. I don't have any reason not to believe you. But all people are doing in this series is going, is saying things. I want documentation. I said, give me your, you have your grades, you have your transcript. He said he could get it from OSU. I said, get it from OSU and send it to me. He sent me his transcript. It showed what he told me. He withdrew from school after the 2003 season. He told me, you know, after the Cotton Bowl, I think it was on January 2nd that year, he never returned to classes. He started preparing for the draft. So that right there was basically a second lie that Carter told, and it was documented, you know, by university records. It's not just hearsay. And so that's, you know, that's what I reported. If I found out that, you know, what Carter said was accurate, that if I could prove that some of these allegations were accurate, I'd report that too. I'm not just trying to debunk the story. I don't, that people may get that impression, but that's not it. I mean, you know, at ESPN, when something like this breaks, whether it's this to the Miami situation or the current SEC story by Yahoo Sports, I mean, we're asked to, you know, see what we can, if there's anything additional that we can find out. You know, can we advance the story with our own news and that sort of thing? So, you know, it's just with the Yahoo Sports report, I mean, everything is so lock solid. There's nothing, you know, it's like you kind of throw your hands up. Well, they got this thing covered every way you could imagine. You know, there's no way that there's any other information that's going to come out from the Yahoo report. So you looked at the Sports Illustrated report, and there's a lot of stuff in there, but it's hard to actually prove any of that stuff other than getting people to say it did or didn't happen. So I kind of looked at things that could be proven true or could be proven not to be true, and that's kind of how I came across that, and then followed it up and was able to track that stuff down.
How important is what you reported to the way everybody perceives the story? It seems like, I mean, to me, thus far, Sports Illustrated hasn't provided any physical evidence the way that you did with the transcript, or even said that they had any, which I think is even kind of more telling. Is that something that Sports Illustrated or any organization would save for the very end? I mean, it doesn't feel like that's something that you kind of hold on to. So that having been said, how important is you reporting this, you know, these two holes in the story that really don't, basically all it shows is that there was poor reporting going on. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't disprove that people receive money or cheated or anything like that. So how important is that to the way that the public perceives the story?
Well, I mean, that's the great question. Obviously that's not the reason I was pursuing it, but I think what it does do, if one of your main sources, you know, lied about two bits of information that can be proven, that can be documented, then, you know, maybe he told the truth on everything else and he just lied about that. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. He told the truth on half of it. Maybe he didn't tell the truth on any of it. I don't know. That's the whole thing. You can't prove anything either way. So I think what it does is it just at least raises the question that, you know, hey, here are two things that were documented by university records that the kid said that was not true. So, you know, maybe people read this stuff and look at it differently, knowing that, you know, the guy that's making all these allegations has lied about two things. Maybe he's lied about three. Maybe he hasn't lied about anything else. You know, it's something the people and the general public have to make a decision for themselves. You know, I think the one thing that's interesting, and you know, I haven't been on their site today, so I don't know if they put up any of the taped interviews, but I heard, I thought they referenced it, but if not, I apologize for making this mistake, but I thought they had referenced that they were going to have audio clips of the different interviews of all these different players, and I don't know if I've seen those up yet. And then you see all the denials by a number of former players saying either they're misquoted or reporters didn't identify themselves as reporters or didn't take notes and different things like that. And, you know, it raises questions. It doesn't mean it's not accurate. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, submarine the project or anything. I mean, but I just think it brings up valid questions. When, like you mentioned, there's really not a lot of documentation other than quotes from individuals. And by the way, which, you know, the Daily O'Collegian, the Oklahoma and the Tulsa World have done a very thorough job on tracking all these individuals who have been quoted, and, you know, 3/4 of them were dismissed from the team for either failing drug tests, for academic issues, or they just quit the team. And I don't believe that was referenced in any of the first two articles. And again, that doesn't mean that they're not telling the truth because they were booted from school for various reasons. But I think that information should be provided to the reader so they can judge what these guys are saying based on their experience at the school.
How does the NCAA traditionally look at cases like this? And I completely, you know, we're not done with it. Obviously there are a couple more parts, but how does the NCAA look at cases where it's a lot of, you know, testimony, but just verbiage one side against another? I mean,
I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but just because ESPN reports something, or just because Sports Illustrated or Yahoo Sports report something, the NCAA still needs to verify that on their own. So, you know, in the Yahoo Sports SEC story, even though Yahoo Sports has all these documents, the NCAA has to independently obtain those documents or get those individuals to talk to them.
This is obviously the part that got cut short. Brett went on to just kind of finish up this question. Again, apologies for the podcast cutting out, but hope you enjoyed listening to Brett talk about just kind of how he got the Tatum Bell Fatha Carter story. And follow his work again on Twitter @McMurphyESPN. And you can find everything, as always, on pistolsfiringblog.com.